Let's go. All right. Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor. So let's start. Source number one. We're going to talk about the mitzvah of Sfirah, but we'll talk about how we move through. So take a look at source number one. This is what's called the Parshas HaMoadim. If somebody is, when kids have their bar mitzvah Parshas Emor, so they're lucky because they have a chance to lean it a lot of times because it comes up all the time. On the Yom Tovim, we read a lot of these, that we read this called the Parshas HaMoadim. All the different holidays are mentioned, including Shabbos. So the Parsha begins, this is the middle of the Parsha, where it says as follows. By the Ber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, the Ber Abnei Yisrael Marta Alehem, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikrai Kodesh Elehem Moadei. So it's going to start listing all the Moadim, and then it starts by talking about Shabbos, which is his own question, and why you're about to list all the holidays, and then you, I didn't put the English in. Oh, sorry. And then you, sorry. I apologize. I forgot. Talks about Shabbos, and then it starts to list the different holidays. So look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Part of bringing the korban omer, they would actually wave it. They would wave the omer, and they would do it when? On mimacharas ha-shabbas. What's mimacharas ha-shabbas? How do we translate that? After Shabbos. Sounds like the day after Shabbos, right? And we're going to find that language come up again. The different korbanos you bring. But then let's go to Pasuk Tesavav, where it's bolded. Usvartem lachem mimacharas ha-shabbas, and you will count for yourselves again from the day after Shabbos. Miyom haviyachem es omer ha-tinufa, from the day you bring this korban omer. Sheva shabbosos tamibos tiyeno, 7 complete weeks. This is known as the mitzvah of Sfiras ha-omer. Okay, if you were just reading, and then the next pasuk ad mimacharas ha-shabbas ha-shviis tispiru chamishim yom, and you're gonna, how long are you gonna count this for? Until the day after the last Shabbos, let's see what that means, the 7th one, you'll count 50 days. Then you're going to bring a new korban, that will be the holiday of Shavuos. Okay, so if you're just reading the Pasuk, and you're excited, Jess, really? Yeah?
Counting right.
Okay, yeah, so if you start to look, if you just read the Pasuk, if you just read the Pasuk
in, So what
are we going to do here? You skip to source number 2.
I was curious. Yes.
Come on.
There's no
English buffer. That's true. Sorry. So we're going to count from the day after Shabbos, from the day you bring that Korban Omer, and you count 7 complete weeks, which gets you until the day after the 7th Shabbos, at which point you're going to have some type of Korban that you bring. Right? That's all we know. We know that's called Shavuos, 7 weeks after Pesach. But if you were just reading the Pesukim, when would you start counting this thing, this count, which you call Sfiras Omer? When would you count if you just read the text?
The first Sunday after Pesach,
right? Which is not so good. That's how secular holidays work. Like the first Tuesday after, right?
The second Sunday in May.
Right. Like the first Sunday after Pesach. That's what you would say. You have the Seder, then the first Sunday you start counting Sfiras Omer, which is not surprising. That's actually what the which one's which? The Sadducees and the Pharisees. Sadducees. We'll see. They said that, right? The people who, they lived a life where they followed the Torah Shebichsav, only the text of the Torah without a Torah Shebapeh. And they believed that, and they would bring a Korban Omer. Specifically when? Specifically on the day, this first Sunday after Pesach. Okay?
When were they? Like what year?
Sadducees and the Pharisees was, the truth is they didn't bring the korban probably, but it was like after the second base of Middash. Like we're talking like first or second century, I think, something like that. So it had no practical ramification. They didn't actually bring a korban then, mm-hmm. I don't think. But good. So we know that that's not our approach. We're like the Pharisees, people who kept the prushim, just means Torah Jews who kept Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat Sav, right? The written and the oral law. And for us, Mimacharas HaShabbos does not mean that you bring the Korban Omer or that you start counting Sfiras Omer the day after Shabbos, but rather, as Rashi writes, Mimacharas Yom Tov, right? And the day after Yom Tov, it's based on the Gemara. And we're going to see why in a second, that you start counting it after Yom Tov, meaning you have the first Seder, that first day of Yontif, and that night, we see in America, or outside of Israel, we count Sfiras Omer where? At the second Seder. That is like a total.
Right, it makes no sense.
That is a total like travesty of what's really happening, right?
We should get rid of it.
Right. Well, there, I always remind you, there's a really easy way to get rid of it. Right? It's a good day for that. Right? Go there. Then you get one. But you, we do it at the second Seder. It's supposed to be Motzei Yontif, right? Mimachar Asa Shabbos, right? After the first days of Yontif or Pesach are over, meaning first day, because that's what's supposed to be, one day. So that night, after at Maariv, we start counting Sfiras Omer that night. Fine. Says the Chizkuni, he gives an explanation to source number three. Chizkuni says, Mimachar Asa Shabbos, Mimachar Asa Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, right? It's from the first night after Yontif of Pesach. Kid the Amr Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon said in the Gemara, Kosuv Echad Omer Shivas. So this is different ways of learning this out. This is one way to learn it out. There's two psukim when it comes to matzah and chametz. Okay? So Kosuv Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelu. You should eat matzah for how many days?
Seven.
Good. The Kosuv Echad Omer, Sheshes Yamim Tocha Matzos. Very confusing pasuk. Pasuk says you should eat matzah for how many days?
Six.
So you're going to say, our Yontif is eight. So again, it's not eight, seven. We have really 7 days. We just have extra day of Yontif. But so there's a pasuk that says you'll eat matzah for 6 days. What kind of, why would that even be? Why would you say that? The Yontif is 7 days. You want to say it's only for one day? Fine. But for 6 days? It's a funny thing to say. So what's that about? How could you possibly put the two together? One says eat matzah for 7 days. One says eat matzah for 6 days. So Ella bizman she'ina tayachol kol zayin min hayashan achol shisha min achadash. We're not going to get so far into this halacha, but there's something called grain that is chadash, new grain, and grain that is yashan, the old grain. And basically, there's a rule. In Eretz Yisrael, we're not usually, most people are not careful about this in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, people are careful about this, that you're not allowed to eat from the new crop of grain until after the first day of Pesach. Right. The first day of Pesach comes, bring the Korban Omer. Once you bring the Korban Omer, now you can start using the Chadash, the new grain from the new year. Okay? It's a whole halacha about Yashan and Chadash. If sometimes you go into a restaurant or a bakery, and it says Yashan in big letters, so that means that they are careful for this halacha, not as Yashan. Okay, there's a lot of things on Trader Joe's packages. Okay,
so people keep kemach yashan like after Pesach, it's not a thing anymore.
So after Pesach is not a question.
Until when?
Right.
So it's between when
October.
And when.
Until Sukkot, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
summer,
I don't know.
Right.
But you don't have to worry about it.
Right. Sukkot is the harvest. And
right.
And then
you wait all the way till Pesach. Right. Correct. So that's how that works. But the point is, what is 6 days versus 7 days? The point is, for 7 days I can eat matzah in general, but only for six could I eat it from chadash. Right? I can only eat 6 days from that new grain. Why? Because when does it change? It changes after the first day of Yontif. So that's what he wants to say. That's how I understand this whole thing. But it's all dependent on what? Right? Right? Hamani makai mimacharas ha-shabbos. Supposed to be the day after Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. Mimacharas Yomtif. What's it talking about? This difference between the six and the seven changes when? The first day of Pesach.
But in Israel, do they have like two runs of matzah?
No, they don't actually. No one actually does this. No one actually does this. But the point is, that's like another fun chumrah just to like throw on top of things. No one does that. But the point is that the purpose of the Jerusha, or the purpose of these two psukim is to do what? To explain to us that one day makes a difference. So what's that day? Oh, that day is not Shabbos. Clearly that day is Pesach. Yontif, fine. That's just an interesting way that it plays out. Fine. But go ahead and look at the next Chizkuni in source number four. Mimacharas HaShabbos, imata omer mimacharas HaShabbos, bracious. I'll tell you why it definitely can't be regular Shabbos, because what's going to happen? Pamim sha'ata mona chamishim v'shnayim, v'chamishim v'arba, v'chamishim v'shisha. I mean, how are you going to get to, how many days are you going to count before you get to Sukkot? If you're always waiting towards, like you're waiting for the after a Shabbos, you're going to have to count so many days to get to the next Shabbos, and you're going to have more than 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot. So that's obviously not possible, right? There's different ways of understanding and making it, it's basically obvious. If you just play it out, we're going to see that rehearsed, you can say the same thing, that it's impossible that it actually meant Shabbos, right? But that just raises the question. If it's impossible, Macharas HaShabbos means Shabbos. And really it means Yomtif.
Right. So why didn't it just say Yomtif?
Just say Yomtif. Right. Mm-hmm. That'd be easier for everybody. Right? We wouldn't have this big machlokas. Just leave us alone. Like, just say, I had a teacher in 7th and 8th grade English. Her name was Miss Steiff. And Miss Steiff used to always say, swim, S-W-Y-M. If you're writing, say what you mean. Right? Don't, just, you want to say something? and say it. Don't say, you know, elaborate language doesn't get you anywhere. Say what you mean, right? So it's funny the things that you remember from seventh grade. But fine. Okay. So take a look at, we're going to skip the source number six for a second. Take a look at Rav Hirsch and source number six. We're going to see something like three or to four approaches to why use the language of Mimacharas HaShabbos if you really just wanted to say after Yontif, and hopefully that'll help us understand what this is really all about and what it means for us. Says Rav Hirsch, this is more about just understanding this Machlokas, but he writes, the opinion of the Sadducees was that Mimacharas HaShabbos is the first day of the week, which is the day after the weekly Shabbos. According to their opinion, the festival of Shavuos always falls on a Sunday, as the date of the festival is the 50th day after the offering of the Omer. In fixing the date of Shavuos on the basis of this interpretation, they sought to express their denial of the tradition of the sages, right? This became such a thing because this was already happening. We knew already in the Midbar, right, which day was going to be Shavuos. We didn't need, right? The Sadducees come much, much later, but they're there to attack the Torah Shabbat Peh. In contrast with the foregoing, the halacha teaches that Mimacharas HaShabbos is none other than the 16th of Nisan, which is the day after the first day of Chag HaMatzos. The absurdity of the Sadducean interpretation is demonstrated by our sages through various proofs, one of which is the following. To suggest that the Omer must be offered on the day after Shabbos Bereishis, i.e. the ordinary weekly Shabbos, is absurd, for there are more than 50 such Shabbosos in the year. Yet scripture does not indicate which of these is meant. I mean, Mimacharas HaShabbos means what? Which Shabbos?
Which
Shabbos? So many of them, right? So you just say Shabbos means, oh yeah, what do you mean? Shabbos means Shabbos. Well, not so fast, because it didn't indicate which Shabbos. Accordingly, Shabbos Tamima means the day of Shabbos with the 6 weekdays attached. Oh, sorry, I just skipped a line, skipped a paragraph. Our sages argue further. The Sadducean interpretation must then also take Ad Mimacharas HaShabbos HaShviyas of verse 16 to be referring to the day after weekly Shabbos, right? Meaning you count until then. But if the first day of the counting is the day after Shabbos, then the 50th day is not the day after the 7th Shabbos, but the day after the 8th Shabbos. So it's not going to work. You're not going to get to 50 days. You're going to get to 49 that way. So you're going to have to wait all the way until much later. The Rambam cites proof also from Yoshua, where they say, Vayochlu Ma'avur Ha'aretz Mimacharas HaPesach. The eating of the new grain is connected there with the first day of the festival in complete accordance with the traditional halacha. Right? It talks about there that they got to Israel, and when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they went ahead and they ate Mimacharas HaPesach. That's when they ate the new grain, meaning Shabbos is defined as Pesach, day after. Fine. So that's why none of this really makes any sense. Fine. But I wanted you to go now to source number 7. In source number 7, Rav Hirsch lays out a different point, which I think opens up the interpretation of why call it Mimacharas HaShabbos. So he writes in source number 7, the term Tamimos, which modifies Shabbosos, right? Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, proves unequivocally that the term Shabbos here does not mean the day of Shabbos. Shabbosos Tamimos then must mean periods consisting of several days. Hi, guys. Come on in. Just make sure they have sheets.
Two sheets.
That'd be awesome. Okay, so good. So Shabbos doesn't always just mean the day of Shabbos. Shabbos, and you find this all the time in the Gemara also, Shabbos doesn't just mean the day of Shabbos, but it also refers to the whole week, right? Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, seven, it's not seven Shabboses, it's 7 weeks, right? Good. So Shabbos always means periods consisting of several days. Now we know from Nedarim that Shabbos Achas means the day of Shabbos, along with all 6 weekdays belonging to it. Again, the Gemara very often was referred to Shabbos Achas, meaning 1 week. In the Gemara Nedarim, what if a person takes a neder? I'm not going to eat for Shabbos Achas, right? So thus the law of one who says, Konam Yayin Shani Toim Shabbos Achas. He vows on Shabbos that he may not drink wine until the following Friday. Right? If he vows on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, he may not drink wine until the following Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Meaning whenever you say the word Shabbos in the context of a neder, you mean a whole week. So Shabbos means a week. Accordingly, Shabbat Tamima means the day of Shabbos with the 6 weeks attached to it. 1 week miyom liyom, as the Mishnah there puts it. The meaning of Shabbos indeed extends to the weekdays before and after it. The days leading up to Shabbos have Shabbos as their goal. We are to live these days in such a way that the work performed on them be worthy of appearing before God. The days following Shabbos are to actualize a spirit that was renewed on Shabbos. They should show how a person renews his bond with God on Shabbos. Thus, in general, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are regarded as accompanying the past Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are regarded as preliminary to the coming Shabbos. But a person can technically make Havdalah until Tuesday, right? Because it's all connected to the past week. And then Wednesday and on, it's all preparing for the next Shabbos, right? I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who'd always say, how was your Shabbos? He'll say, ask me next Shabbos, right? Because it depends, I don't know how my Shabbos was. Well, Shabbos impacts my whole week. Right, the Shabbos impacts my week, so it sends me forward. When I have Shabbos, it sends me into the whole week, right? So what? And our view then, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiena means this. Seven complete Sabbath cycles are to pass. Seven times, Shabbos is to exert its educating power on the workdays in its sphere of influence. That is to say, seven times Shabbos is to exert its influence on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whether they come before or after Shabbos. On whatever day of the week, the Yom HaNeif, the 16th of Nisan, may fall, that day is always the first of a seven-day period grouped around a Shabbos. A complete period such as this must pass seven times before the purpose of the counting prescribed here is attained. The point being that calling the weeks of the counting by the word Shabbos implies a certain emphasis on the impact that the Shabbos has on the week. Right? So we talk about having seven full Shabboses. Right, so what are we doing? What's this all about? So skip down now to the paragraph that begins with thus. Thus we are commanded to count from the day of our freedom and prosperity of our national independence. From this we learn in general that these achievements are not the end, but only the beginning of our national aspirations. Then we are shown the road we must travel to reach the goal of the counting. Seven times, Shabbos is to exert its educating influence on our active and working lives. Seven times we are to accept upon ourselves the yoke of God's kingship. We are to learn that the world which man rules and which rules man is subject to the rule of the Creator. By the way, what's one of the first halachos the Jewish people learn when they leave Egypt? They walk out of the Yam Suf. He doesn't say this. That's in Egypt, right? Correct? When they leave the Yam Suf, they go 3 days without water, they start to complain, and the Torah says, Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham yisahu. And the Gemara explains that at that moment, what did they learn? They learned Shabbos at that moment, right away. As they left, it was before they got the Torah. And there's already Shabbos from the beginning. So what Rav Hirsch is arguing is that calling it Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos is that, what does Shabbos always mean? It means that, yeah, I had Shabbos, good. So how was Shabbos? Good. No, but the answer is, Shabbos is only as good as the impact it had on me. What am I doing the next day? How am I going to live the next day because of that Shabbos? And that is the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Which is, and we're going to see the Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to say this in a second, that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not to be free. It was to be free to then get the Torah. Yeah, it was that's Gemara says in the Chabin Chorin al Misha Osek b'Torah. Ben Chorin free is not freedom for do whatever I want, not anarchy. Right? It's you're free now to choose to make good choices, to do the right thing, to live life in a certain way. It's not awesome. Got it. Pesach happened. Now I'm done. And says no, Pesach happened. Good. So now it's time to get to work. Right? Now it's time to see where I'm headed. So we phrase it as Shabbos because Shabbos has the same power. That Shabbos, when used well, propels me forward, right? If you don't have a good Shabbos, you didn't really get, that connection on Shabbos, then it makes the week harder. But if I had a good, inspiring Shabbos, then it sends me forward in a certain way. And therefore, that's why it's called Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiena. The first does not say the next piece, but I thought it's obvious then. That's why it's called Mimacharas HaShabbos, right? And maybe he means this, to say that also. Like, that's why it's called, why not call it Mimacharas Yom Tov? The answer is because I want it to be like Shabbos. Right, Pesach is Shabbos in that sense. Pesach has the power of reminding us exactly where we are, what we accomplished at the Seder night, and now we move forward with that impact. So if that's true, Mimacharas HaShabbos, now I go forward into the same way that Shabbos should propel me into the week, same thing Pesach propels me on my way to Shavuos. So that's at least one approach, which I thought was interesting. Okay. Next one. And the truth is, the next one is actually very, it's almost the same thing. So we don't even have to see it. The Rav, in source number 8, I guess, actually says this. That's the truth. He basically says the machlokus between the Sadducees and the Pharisees is exactly this point. That the Sadducees wanted to make Pesach and Shavuos separate holidays. And they're not connected to each other. Right? Whereas Chazal wanted to see Pesach and Shavuos as bookends. In fact, Ibn Mechai that we didn't read inside says that why you count 7 weeks, because basically Pesach is the first day of Yontif, Shavuos is the last day of Yontif, and the days in the middle, Chol Hamoed. That would be really hard. You'd find a lot of things to do. The Jewish link would love that. Then have like this huge, huge set. Yeah, it's like COVID. Yeah, it's
like
COVID.
Laundry.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's this one big Chol HaMoed in the sense that it's bookends because the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get me to Shavuos. And so they're totally connected, and that's why we wanted it to be Machar Asa Shabbos right after Pesach. I'm already counting. I'm still in the middle of Pesach. And she says, yeah, but Pesach is only as valuable as the Shavuos that comes after it. Okay. Hmm. I want to show you a totally different approach in Rav Zalman Saratskin, source number 9. That was Nam Natar. As you notice, I basically keep this safer like right next to me on my desk. And so every week I try to see if he has something cool to say, because he always has something cool to say.
It's only in Hebrew?
It's only in Hebrew. Yeah, they don't have it in English. I don't think they do.
Does it exist?
It might. You have to search O-Z-N-A-Y-I-M, La Torah. O-Z-N-A-Y-M, La Torah. It's the only way that they would have it transliterated. You know, O-Z-N-A-Y-M. Okay, but so he points out in the part that we don't have here that he basically says he goes through this whole story and then he says, but none of this. Take a look at source number 9. Aval ina davar habaru hazeh potero tanamilate tam lama kara torah sayom ha'echad shal pesach b'shem Shabbos. Right? But he says, like, I don't understand. It's nice to explain this machlokas and it's important the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the importance of Torah Shabbat Peh, and it's all nice and good. But what's the bother? Why are you bothering me with this? And he says the following. He says, I wrote in a different sefer, and he's going to give us a shortened version of what he wrote before, a few points that explain this question. Number one, Aleph. Lama yarad Hashem b'kvodo v'atzmo b'leil ha-Pesach? Why did Hashem come down himself on Pesach to take us out? Lahakot b'chorei Mitzrayim v'lo asa azos ayidei malach o'saraf? Why did he do it himself? Why didn't he send? We always say Hashem came himself. Now he didn't send a malach. Why not send a malach? Base. Lama marchilim li sport sphere saomer rak mi tes zayin benison velo mi yom ha'arishon shalacha. That's a good question. Why do we start counting sphere saomer? If Pesach only takes me to Shavuos, so start counting on the first night of Pesach. We have to start counting on the second night. Gimel. Lama lo kava Torah zman miyuchad l'chag Shavuos. Right. This is one of the classic questions about Shavuos. Shavuos does not have a date in the Torah. Right? It doesn't say on the sixth day of Sivan, da 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 da. It just says after 50 days. Right? It waits for the 50th day, you know, from Pesach. What was my answer? He says, Shalafi, Shabbat Yisrael ben Mitzrayim, you shkuyim ben memtes sharetum. You know, Bnei Yisrael ben Mitzrayim, they were not doing a lot of mitzvahs. They were doing a lot of averos. And they were on the 49th level of Tumah. Lo haya bakoach malach lo tziyah misham. So a malach couldn't do it. It wouldn't be enough. It was too hard. Whatever that means. Ubefrat es kulam ki isha chad. And certainly take all of them at once. Verak mi pnei giloi shchina. But only because Hashem himself revealed himself. Shaya az nit alu nishamo pnei yisho bikirvas elokim. Lemadregos malachei mala. Right, what happened? When they had the experience of experiencing Hashem himself, so it lifted the people up, whatever that means, in a spiritual level. And they became like malachim to a certain extent. Hashem said, right, the Navi says, Hashem appreciated so much, Am Yisrael, like, loved Hashem so much and just followed him in the Midbar. What was it like? What's the time when we're going to experience Hashem and really understand him the best? In Yemos HaMashiach.
Okay.
And Yemos HaMashiach is called the ultimate, it's called the phrase we use to refer to Yemos HaMashiach. One of them is Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the day that's every day Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is the one day we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, right? We like, really, not the only day, but we like focus on him more. It's more saturated, our feeling of Hashem. So in times of Mashiach, it's going to be like Shabbos all the time. Don't tell your kids, right? Shabbos, you can use the device. Don't worry, right? But it's like Ki'ilu Shabbos. It's Shabbos. I wish it was Shabbos every day, right? I mean, it's always Shabbos, right? And that's what happened to them in that moment, right? So therefore, the first night of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, is called Shabbos, right? Because it was this day of like clarity of understanding of Hashem. Right? So just like Shabbos provides that sense, and the Yom Shekulo Shabbos really provides that sense, right? The Mos Mashiach, it's not. We always talk about this sometimes. Like Mashiach won't necessarily mean that like it's all miracles and nobody gets sick. We don't know. That's things like we think, but we don't know for sure. The one thing we do know is by Yom HaHuyeh Shema Chalishu Mo'achad, everyone will know there's a God. I mean, that itself would be a miracle, right? But like, it'll be a time when the whole world recognizes Hashem as the creator of the world. So they'll get off like the news and they'll say like, you know, Godspeed. And they'll mean the same God that we mean. And like, well, they'll start saying Godspeed again. Right? But they'll say it and they'll mean it. The whole world. Doesn't mean everyone's going to be Jewish. But everyone will recognize Hashem as the Melech HaKol HaAretz. Right? But that's what we say in the Aleinu. So it's a time when everyone recognizes the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's like this weird, if you notice when you bench at the Seder. So, Harachaman Yom Shekulo Tov, but there's a longer one. And it's only that the Seder, everyone gets confused. All Pesach long, we use those benchers. It's like, should I say this? It's the night of the Seder. It says, L'yom Shetzadikim Yoshvim at Roseim Barasheim Venenim Aziv Ashkin. We're going to have this time and all the Tzadikim are going to sit. What is it talking about? Right? It's about the time of Mashiach. It's called Shabbos. Ki lo rak belil hagu'ula hisromu b'nei Yisrael l'malas malachem malav yagishu etz atm kibayom shekulo Shabbos. It's not just that time, you know, back then, the first Seder ever. Ela b'chol dor v'dor. Chayev ha-Yehudi lir'os etz atmo ki hu yatzam Mitzrayim. We're supposed to experience it ourselves. V'alayla hazel lil shimarimu l'Hashem. V'miyu'a l'nisim nifnos. It's a time of Nisim all the time. Right, and the point is that it's that time every year, the night of the Seder, is a moment of clarity for people. Wow, Hashem really does X and Y and Z in the world, and I really notice it, and we talk about it, and talk about it with our children, and it's a night of clarity. Like Shabbos, and like the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And therefore he argues, that's why we call it Shabbat, that's why we call it Mimacharas HaShabbos. Go, Rona.
No. Can I keep my mouth?
Why? Go ahead. I'm not saying this is a simple shot. Yeah.
Oh, Jess. Okay.
Okay, Jess, go.
Are there other places where Pesach?
We're not done. We have one more still. Okay. Yeah.
Are there other places where Pesach is referred to as Shabbat, or is it just this
or any other
place where we're using
Pesach called Shabbos?
For something else.
I don't think so.
It just feels so. Okay, so that's one question I was wondering.
Yeah.
The second thing is like.
I think it's very unique.
We know that Shabbat, outside of Yom Kippur, we know that Shabbat supersedes everything else. Which is great and goes to show like how important Shabbos is, and we get it every week, etc. But like Pesach is only once a year, so I feel like to call it Shabbat is like taking away its moment, like the specialness that makes Pesach Pesach. Like it's attached to Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's not just about clarity. Mm-hmm. It's not just about rest. Like it's so different. So I don't love this interpretation for that reason.
I hear that. By the way, you should know Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Is what is that? What is that?
It's the opposite of rest.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, it comes after all the time before, but yeah, no, but it.
Lots of people go on vacation.
But some do. Having Yom Kippur is called Shabbat Shabbaton.
Uh-huh.
Yom Kippur is the ultimate Shabbos in that sense. And by the way, for the same reason,
uh-huh.
What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur today is the ultimate. It's the ultimate clarifying moment.
Right.
Yom Kippur is a day when we're like Malachim. It's a day when we just focus on Avodas Hashem only. We don't even focus on our physical needs, right? So the idea of calling a Yontif, nicknaming it Shabbos, does have a precursor.
Right.
In the sense that Yom Kippur, that way.
Yeah. But you can't nickname two different holidays, which have two totally different, like...
Except that. The Torah did.
Okay.
Right? No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, I didn't make that up. We're just trying to explain it.
If we're interpreting it correctly.
Right.
Or it could be that Maharat Shabbat means after Shabbos, and we're going to find out when Mashiach comes, that we've been counting Sfirah all
along. Yeah, that would be like pretty surprising. Because like all of Torah Shabbat Peh assumes. It's not like a Machlokas.
Right,
the Sadducees are not like, it's like Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Mm-hmm. Like this is like, the Sadducees are like Chutz Machna. Like they were rejected entirely.
I
so
mean,
it's not like a...
I always say, like, what are we going to do? We're going to be like, no, Jesus wants to die.
Do you ever see, you know, Mr. Really Bean? You know Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah.
So he does this, like, stand-up thing?
Yeah.
So that's many years ago. Yeah. And so he does one of these things, like, he's like Lucifer.
Okay.
And it's like, and he's telling everyone who's like coming into hell.
Yeah.
And so, whatever. And he said, and he says, okay, next come these people, like, you know, who's going to go to hell?
Yeah.
So he goes, okay, and now all the Christians. Yes, the Jews were right.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm not saying that. But that's what he says in his thing. But yeah, but good. It's okay if you don't like this one. It's just, I think it's creative. I don't think it's only Eugene. But I bring for you now one more idea, which you don't have in your source. Okay, and this idea was, it comes from a sefer called Amita Shel Torah, Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, who was a rabbi in Frisch, I think, many years ago, and lives in Eretz Yisrael. Really beautiful sefer called Amita Shel Torah. And he talks about the following idea. He says, if you want to understand Macharas HaShabbos, like what's that about, you have to understand the way numbers work in Judaism. Okay, the number 7 and the number 8. Okay? Number 7 in Judaism always represents nature, teva, right, nature. Nature is 7. 7 days in a week, fine. 7 is always nature. 8 is always? Lamala mina teva, right? Ask Matisyahu, also, right? He talked about it. He has a song like that. So, like, 8 is lamala mina teva in the world of Kabbalah, etc. It always refers to things that are built upon nature. Fine. So what is the best example of how we add on to nature? Bris Mila, right? Hashem makes us a certain way and we change it. He tells us to, but we change it, right? And what day do we do that? The 8th day. Why? Lamala min ha-teva. We add on, we build on up on top of what's already natural. And there's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that talks about that, right? That Hashem basically gave us the world and said, make things, make it better. Hashem gave us flat. There's a conversation that go on between Rabbi Akiva and the Roman, this, whatever, and then he says, what are you guys changing things for? He goes, what? What's better, right? The grain that Hashem gives you or the bread that we bake?
Right.
And he says, the bread that we bake. He's like, what are you talking about? How can that be? He goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the world to use the things that he put there and now build on top of that. So, and that's what Bris Mila is all about, okay? And like we said, that's why the Bris Mila done on the 7th day is nothing. You did 0. You did a Bris Mila on the 8th day, you did the mitzvah. Okay? And the Medrash also points out the unique nature of Korban Omer that way. Okay, why? Typically a Korban has a name. Right? This type of Korban, the reason that it's brought, we talked about in the past, a Korban Todah versus a Korban Chatas. Todah is when something good happens to you. Korban Chatas, you did a sin. What is an Omer? What's an Omer? Omer is a measurement. It's an amount of something. Okay? And it's the same measurement we find in only one other place. The mun. When the mun was given to us, it was given to us as Omer Lagugolet. That's how much mun every person got. I don't know exactly what that is, how much it is. But it's a certain amount. They call it the Omer. Okay? So it says the Medrash, we are commanded to give back to Hashem that which he gave to us. The first time you're going to harvest anything, right? In the new year, what are you going to bring it? What are you going to do with it? You're going to bring it to Hashem. Okay? So you have, this is the first time you're going to bring any type of korban. The whole year, you take the omer, right? That barley, the little bit of barley, and you bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, we mentioned before that in Yoshua, right? We tell the story of how Bnei Yisrael brought the korban omer in Eretz Yisrael for the very first time. What day did they bring it? Right? The conclusion of Pesach, right? After Macharas HaPesach, they brought it. Okay? What had just stopped that when Am Yisrael walk into Eretz Yisrael and they bring the first Korban Omer? What had just stopped falling?
The
man. The man. They just stopped getting the man from Hashem. And one of the first things they're commanded to do is bring a Korban Omer. The same amount. The amount that you used to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, you now start to bring to Him from yourself. Right? Why? That's exactly what we're trying to do here. Why call me Macharas HaShabbos? What's that about? So he wants to argue, if Shabbos is always referred to as the 7th day of the week, right? Okay? So that, and 7 represents nature, it represents the conclusion of God's creation, then what's me Macharas HaShabbos? The next day, it's the time for our starting to give back. We build on that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. So Hashem gave us an Omer, and on the day after the conclusion of natural order, Shabbos, we then give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Torah doesn't tell us, the mitzvah Sfiras Omer is after Pesach. Then said, you use the language of Yimacharas HaShabbos. And by the way, it should come as no surprise then that Shavuos, right, which is the culmination of Sfiras HaOmer, takes place on day 50. What is the culmination of 7 times 7? 49. When Shavuos? Plus 1. Lamala min hateva, again. The time when we no longer just wait for Hashem to do for us, but we start to do for Him. They tell a story that a chassid once came to the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman of Lida. He was the founder of Chabad. And he said to the Rebbe, he's telling him all the difficult things happening in his life, and this is hard, and this is hard, and this is hard, and this is hard. So the Rebbe turned to him, it was a little sharp. He said to him, I think I know the problem. He says, you have no problem telling me all the things that you need. Your trouble is to figure out what you're needed for. And he said, if you start to figure that out, maybe you wouldn't feel so bad anymore. Very interesting, right? And that, and I think this idea, this...
Put that on a banner for the college campus.
That's
literally the
right,
problem.
Right, right, right. Bring me Uber Eats as I'm protesting. So like the and that way, by the way, it really still fits with the original point, right? Which is that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is for me not to say like, woo, I'm free. Right now I can do whatever I'd like. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get me to figure out what am I needed for? What's my job now? Right? So we have 7 weeks, right, before we surpass that week and say, yeah, like what am I figuring out for myself is the thing that the way that I can contribute, the thing that I can do in the world, the thing that I'm able to bring to society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which obviously happens to be that this year today came out in Yom HaZikaron, which is the ultimate day, right, of people who we watch and we listen to and we hear Mickey spoke here last night about his experiences in Gaza and what it was like for people who went one more time into Beirut to get another person and another person and another person and who died because they wanted to give one more time to one more person. And that's the ultimate. And we see that that's the ultimate in Kedusha. That's the ultimate Kedoshim. I mentioned in Shul this past Shabbos that the language that Ramban talks about of what does it mean to be Kedoshim to you is about people who are able to Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Lokeichem. Mishum Mishkab says, what does that mean to be like Hashem in the same way? What does that mean? So he says, what is Hashem? Hashem is the ultimate giver. Hashem doesn't do anything for himself. It's impossible, right? Hashem just does for us. That's all He does. And so to be ki kadosh ani Hashem lekeichem, how does it mean to be kadosh like Hashem? So it must be that kedusha means being someone who gives to others, being someone who gives something up for somebody else. What?
It's a good
Mother's Day word also. Yeah, it's true. I was noting to my wife this week how it's so interesting that so many moms spend their Mother's Day
doing for other
moms. Right, and I said it's actually kind of, on the one hand, it's kind of ironic, and on the other hand, it highlights what moms are all about, because moms basically just give, right? And that's why moms are the ultimate, right, the ultimate givers in that sense, because that's what they do. And so you almost have no time for yourself, you need to find time for yourself, but there's that sense of what it means to be a mom is to do exactly that. So I think that this, you know, finding Sfiras HaOmer, sometimes you think it's funny that Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaZikaron come out in Sfiras HaOmer, actually, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmud are perfectly placed during Sfiras HaOmer, because Sfiras HaOmer is all about what can I contribute to the world, to Klal Yisrael, to other people, how can I be a person who sacrifices that time and gives up my time and gives up my things for somebody else, and sometimes, chalila, we don't have to give up our life for somebody else. There's no better time to be learning that lesson than during this time right now, a time of Mimacharas HaShabbos, taking what Hashem has given us and now being ready to give back.
Can I ask you a question? Not about Parsha, but about...
Yeah, sure.
Lag BaOmer is on a Sunday. Are you shaving on Friday?